Welcome to Park Street. We are grateful that you are with us this morning as we are getting closer to the Advent season. One of the consequences of our fallen world is that we experience disconnection from our Creator, from one another, and from the created world. And through following the Christian calendar and through the grace of Jesus Christ, we seek to rectify all three of those things. That we are gathering, not just as a local community of saints, but with the global body of the church. And we are gathering in the season of ordinary time to worship the Lord, to proclaim his goodness, and to remind ourselves that we are part of a vast tradition that seeks to advance the kingdom of God through proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. So just a couple more weeks in ordinary time, and then we start all over again with Advent. And so we're looking forward to that season. As the weather outside changes, we prepare for entering the next season of our life together as well. We've been preaching through the book of Hebrews in this season, and we have found it to be full of complicated but encouraging, profound insights about what it means to be a people on pilgrimage toward this eternal city that is the new heaven and the new earth, which is going to be made new and made available to all of us in Christ's return and restoration of all things. Last week, we ended on chapter 10, but I didn't read the last verse from chapter 10 because I think it sets up chapter 11 quite nicely. So let's read the last verse of Hebrews chapter 10. It's verse 39, and it says this. After all of that encouragement and all of that reflection on what it means to keep on walking forward and drawing nearer to God and not shrinking back, the author of Hebrews ends the chapter with this. We do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. So really, all that chapter 11 seeks to do is define that term. What is faith? That word in Greek is pistis, and in chapter 11, it is repeated 24 times. Anytime you see repetition in the Bible, even if it's just two times or three, this is something that the author wants you to pay attention to. The author of Hebrews 11 puts the word in there 24. This is a absolute examination of what it looks like to be a people of faith. Now, you might assume you know what faith is because here we are gathering together in an act of faith and worship. But I even find myself being challenged by this definition and how the author describes what faith is. So we're going to read all of Hebrews 11, so buckle up, people. Longest chapter in the book of Hebrews. My only consolation to you is when these original sermons and letters were read to the early church, they read the whole thing. Okay, so don't whine at me. Can you tell I'm the father of four children? We are going to enjoy and be challenged by the entirety of chapter 11 this morning. And so let's turn to scripture. Hebrews 11, we'll start with verses 1 through 3. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was made out of what was visible. Wait, is that right? Oh, sorry, I missed a word that was crucial. And I confused my own self for a second. Let's read it correctly. So that what is seen was not, aha, made out of what is visible. So one of the best definitions of faith I have ever heard is the sense that just as we use our senses of sight and smell and hearing and taste and touch to perceive the material reality, faith is the sense by which we perceive spiritual realities. It's a sense that helps us connect to something that is real, but something that requires a perception of its existence. Now, the reason I like this analogy so much is many of us can relate to the material world and encountering it through our five senses. And what we know is this: sometimes we have challenges perceiving the physical world accurately when our senses are diminished, right? So maybe you have a friend who's colorblind, and they can perceive the world, but not in its fullness. We recognize that we do not see the full color spectrum as well, right? There are animals that can see into other spectrums of light that are not available to us. So there's a reality, but we don't perceive it fully. Think about people who maybe they're losing their hearing. Think about people, you've experienced this. You've been outside and it's cold and your hands get numb. And then you come in and your sense of touch is temporarily diminished, right? So we understand that occasionally, or maybe permanently, depending on your situation, your senses can be diminished. And yet there's a reality that you know is true, even if you can't sense it. Also, in addition to that, sometimes, even at our best, we do not have the sensitivity necessary to perceive what is really happening. And humans have gotten very creative over the years at training different kinds of animals that have greater sensitivity to perceive reality for us. Think of using a dog's nose to perceive things that we could not smell because our noses aren't as sensitive. Dolphins are sometimes used in echolocation to find things underwater that we couldn't find on our own. I've recently heard of using eagles to spot people who have gotten lost in the mountains or hiking, that their eyesight is so much better than humans, even using a drone, that they can spot and rescue those who have been lost. All of these creatures implement senses, but theirs have a greater sensitivity than we have. And that is the analogy that the author of Hebrews is playing throughout chapter of 11. We all have been given some sense of faith, but some people have greater sensitivity when it comes to faith than others. Have you ever taken a spiritual gifts test? This might shock you, but I often score high in wisdom and leadership and teaching. Yeah, right. But often, I'll freely admit, I don't score very, very high in faith. That's a gift that I have in part, but not in full. But I've been so blessed to have men and women around me that have this abundance of faith. They have a greater sensitivity to the things the Lord is doing. Do you know people like that? And you have learned, if you're like me, over time to listen to what they say is going on in the spiritual realm, because they have this greater sensitivity to make visible what maybe me in my diminished state can't always perceive. Hebrews 11 is a list of men and women who show us the way forward in Christ. They have a greater sensitivity to what the Lord is doing. And so we recognize that since we're on this great pilgrimage toward the eternal realm, we are walking in step and we are letting them be our guides as we pursue Christ together. So let's hear about some of them. Hebrews 11, 14, excuse me, 4 through 16. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offering. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away, the author quotes. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. God is real, but if you don't have a sense of faith, you can't perceive him, right? We have to step forward in this knowledge and this sensitivity of faith in order to interact with the Lord at all. The author continues, by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them, they perceived them, and were welcoming them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had an opportunity to return to it. But instead, they were looking for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. A few nights ago, before dinner, we asked who would like to pray for our meal. And my youngest son, Forrest, said he would like to pray. And he shared the prayer request that he told us that he had shared earlier with his friends at LifeWise Academy. And the prayer was this, that Leah and I would no longer continue in getting a divorce. And I hate to interrupt children when they're praying. But I said, excuse me, what? He said, I shared with my friends at LifeWise that you and mommy were talking about getting a divorce. I said, what? Why? Well, a few days ago, Leah and I had a disagreement, but it was like 6 out of 10. She didn't throw anything at me. But in the middle of it, we realized that the children were gathering, and we said, you know what? Let's go talk about this in another room. And Forrester's mind was like, oh, they're talking about ending it right now. So I had to email the person who's in charge of his LifeWise group to assure them, and you, that sadly she stuck with me. But the thing is true is this. Number one is my youngest son, Forrest, is more sensitive. He was sensitive to the disagreement that was happening. And the other thing that's true, as Lee and I were reflecting on it, is that his whole life identity and security is based on our family. So, of course, he's more sensitive to things that could disrupt that than anything else. Well, we remember that the audience for the book of Hebrews were these Jewish Christians. Their whole life identity and stability was found in being of the people of the covenant, right? And we recognize that just as my son has this increased sensitivity, these are men and women who had an increased sensitivity to God's leading. They didn't move forward in faith because the path before them was easy. They didn't move forward in faith really knowing where they were going. And in fact, sometimes the author explicitly points out that they had no idea what they had in store for them. But they had this sense that God was up to something, and that if they continued pressing forward, they would arrive not on a earthly, this is important, not arrive at an earthly happily ever after, but arrive at an eternal city that is the reward for those men and women who faithfully seek the Lord. Let's continue on. Hebrews 11, 17 through 31. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It's through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so, in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshiped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the application of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. This list is important for so many reasons. And if we had time, we could pull apart every single story and explore how these men and women perceived and acted on something that wasn't tangible in the physical realm, but was nonetheless real. One of the things that unites these people is that none of them were perfect. Scripture goes out of its way to show how flawed these men and women were, so that you and I don't get misled to think that the way you really please Jesus is by getting your act together, right? That's not the story of the history of those who are in faith. They failed, they lied, they cheated, they were sinful, broken people just like you and me. And yet, the thing that makes them special is that they were able to trust. They had some ability to know, even when they couldn't physically prove that God was at work in their situation. The other thing about these stories is they all were allowed to perceive past the present moment, which is often full of difficulty and hardship. Somehow, in all of these stories, they were able to see beyond their current situation and trust there would be a restoration and a reward for their obedience. It reminded me of a story I just heard this week of a missionary named Adoniram Judson, the first Protestant missionary in Burma. He arrived in Burma in 1813, determined to translate the Bible into a language that had never known the gospel. And for 40 years, he worked on this project, enduring the first 7 years without a single convert, experiencing brutal imprisonment and torture during a time of war. He experienced the death of two wives, multiple children, and seasons of such incredibly pressing despair that there's a story of him digging his own grave in the jungle, so sure of he that he would soon depart from this world. When he finally passed on to glory in 1850, the results of his ministry, frankly, were fairly meager. A few hundred people had come to faith, but because of his persistence, he did translate the entirety of the Bible into the Burmese language. And because of this faithful translation, it ignited a movement which saw literally millions of people from Myanmar to come to Christ. He saw past his present hardship and saw a glorious future that no one else around him could perceive. That's the story. That's the legacy of faith that we inherit. Let's continue on in Hebrews, verses 32 through 40 of chapter 11. And what more shall I say? I don't have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and floggings and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. For the original audience, and for the community of faith in Christ around the world today, the message of Hebrews 11 is twofold. First, we should follow the example of those who have suffered and gone ahead of us, who trusted as a result of the sensitivity of their faith in the spiritual realm. We can't always perceive what the next step should be. And yet, we have guides. We have those who have gone ahead of us, who have a greater ability to perceive spiritual realities than sometimes we do. And we need to trust their example and follow their faith, even when we don't know where to go or what to do. And secondly, we need to realize that our story is connected to theirs. Our lives are an extension of theirs. And our current faith is the completion of their deposit in trusting the Lord and remaining faithful in Him. I don't know if I've shared this story with you yet. But 2 years ago, when my mother passed away, and I had found her in her apartment, I called 911. And the EMT who arrived, in the grace and providence of God, was my friend and deacon at Park Street Brethren Church, Ian Emser. And I was too overwhelmed with shock in the moment to realize that there was this incredible moment of grace that the person who first came was a friend who hugged me and told me he loved me. Three weeks ago, I ran the Columbus Marathon. You thought I wasn't going to bring that up. You almost got to the end. And I had this sudden moment of grief. At mile number 22. Because I passed the spot that 3 years prior, when I had run that race, my mother was standing and cheering for me. And I looked to where she used to be. And obviously she wasn't there anymore. But then I looked to my right. And again, in a providence that defies explanation, I saw running beside me my friend Ian. We both signed up to run the marathon. And we both decided to hang together. And so I had this beautiful full circle moment that was such a grace. I didn't give myself time to think about it because I was trying to not die. And I didn't feel like crying. But what a reminder that in this journey toward our heavenly home, we may lose people who are precious to us, but that God will always provide a family to help you finish the race. The name of that family is the church. Even in times, and I know some of you are navigating them right now, even in times when you can't perceive what the Lord is doing, you're colorblind to the story he's writing, you've grown deaf to his voice, whatever has happened, the trauma, the difficulty, the shock has diminished your ability to perceive that he's at work, even in the times when you don't know what God is doing, stay close to your brothers and sisters in faith. They will lead you home. Let's pray together this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you that sometimes in our darkest hour, you provide men and women to come alongside us and to make tangible what we otherwise could not perceive. That you have not abandoned us, that you have not forgotten us, that you do not ignore us, but that you come in the moment of our greatest difficulty and weakness, and you put your arms around us. Thank you for those who have gone before, who have had an increased sensitivity to your movement in this world. Even when we can't see, we trust that they were able to understand, and we follow in their footsteps. Thank you that we are not instructed to endure all of life's difficulties alone, but that you have gathered around us a great cloud of witnesses. To encourage us to press on. We may not always be able to hear their voices, but through faith, their message remains loud and clear. Take the next step and trust that the journey will be worth it. Hold on to Jesus and the men and women who are gathered in his name. And together, someday, in your timing and grace, we will all arrive at our destination in your presence forever. We pray all of this in the powerful, eternal, and resurrected name of Christ Jesus our Lord. And God's people said, amen and amen. We always offer you this opportunity to join your faith with some of those who are especially gifted in praying. Maybe you are in a season where you can't see, can't perceive, can't understand what's going on. Join your faith with someone else. They may help you to see and discover what God is doing right now in the midst of this difficulty. For the rest of us, let's stand together and join our voices with those men and women who have gone before us, who are singing even now in the presence of the Lord. Let's worship him together. Sometimes my kids will play sports in the living room, even though I'd ask them not to. And one of my favorite sounds is the sound that they make that imitates a crowd roaring. You know, they shoot the little jumper and it's, the crowd goes wild. Here's our real conviction. If we had the ears to hear it, we could hear the cheers of those who have gone ahead of us saying, keep going. You're doing great. The Lord has got you. For now, we'll have to make do with hearing the sound of our brothers and sisters singing the doxology together. See that transition? It was smooth. Let's sing together as we close. Praise God. And holy. Receive this benediction this morning. May you hold fast to Christ, who has made himself tangible to you through your brothers and sisters in faith, those who have gone on to glory, and those who walk beside you today. Keep trusting, keep walking, keep believing that we will one day, in Christ's timing and in his goodness, arrive together safely on eternity's shore. In the meantime, may you be the hands and feet, the voice, the shoulder to cry on of Christ himself to those who need to feel him the most. May you show others the way as you follow Christ to the end. We bless you with this good work in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen and amen. I love you very much, church. Go in peace.